We're doing the Navi Yeshayah. We're up to what they call the 43rd chapter, the 15th Pasuk. Kvado Muzman. Ani Adonai Kedoshechem, says the Ribon Shel Olam, I am Hashem, I am the source of your holiness, Borei Yisrael Malkechem. I am Hashem who has created Israel. I am your king. And that's why, says Hashem, I will send out to Babylon and summon you back to bring you back from Bavel, from Babylon, into the land of Israel. Ko amar Adonai hanoten bayam darech. So says Hashem, I'm the one who made paths for you through the Yam Suf. I made you pathways through the tumultuous waters of the Yam Suf, and over there I caused the Egyptians to follow you and be knocked off their feet. I'm the one who caused the might of the Egyptian army to pursue you into the Yam Suf. Yachdav yishkevu bal yakumu, and I knocked them all off their feet. You saw them laying dead by the riverside of the Yam Suf. You saw how they could not get up. Da'achu kapishtachavu. The Egyptian Empire was da'achu. Their souls leaped. Lid'och is the way a flame flickers up and down. So that's the idea over here, that they flickered to death, and like a pishta, like a piece of flax that lights quickly and goes out quickly, so too they were put out, and they were done, the Egyptian army. There's a word here in Targum, I don't know what it means. Rashi quotes it. The word tifo, I don't know what that means. Okay, I don't know. The general idea of comparing them to flax is that flax doesn't make a coal. When it burns, it doesn't have an ember that remains lit. So that's why flax is the example we give when we want to describe something that burns and doesn't last. It just extinguishes itself.
What is flax being compared to exactly?
To the Egyptian army. That the Egyptian army was knocked off its feet. So Hashem says, I took you out of the exile of Mitzrayim, I'll take you out of the exile of Babylon, of Babel.
They were compared to flax in a different way. They were going up and down in the Yam Suf, right? They were being ground.
Saluk of Eret.
Rashi talks about that.
Right. Right. So it says flax there. What does it say there? I don't remember. Al tizkiru rishonot vekadmoniot al titbonanu. Hashem says, don't remember what happened in the past, because what's going to happen now is so much greater that you won't even remember. You won't pay attention to what happened in Mitzrayim. And here we have the famous machlokas of whether we will continue remembering the exile and the exodus from Egypt, or we're going to say that's belittled by the greater exodus. Hinini yoseh hadasha ata titzmach halotei da'uha. Hashem says, I'm doing something new, and it's going to grow now. Af asim bamidbar derech bishimon neharot. I'll create pathways throughout the desert. I will have you escape Babylon and return to the land of Israel. And that's going to be a greater miracle. And that's the machlokas. Do we have the mitzvah after the return in the second temple? Are we still remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or do we say no? We no longer count the months from Nisan. Now we count the months Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. We take the Babylonian names to remember the great exodus from Babylon. So what did the Pasuk mean over here? Don't remember the past. What's happening now is even greater. Is the Pasuk talking about the redemption that's yet to come? That's what Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah were discussing in the Mishnah and Brachos, and we discuss it a little bit in the Haggadah. Is the great redemption that's yet to come, is that going to be greater than the exodus from Egypt? Will we still remember in the world to come, will we still remember what happened in the exodus from Egypt? Now, my grandmother, she should live and be well, asked me that every Seder I should mention the exodus from the Holocaust. And I once said on a Seder night, I said in shul that none of the exiles were as bad as what happened in Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim encapsulized all the suffering that we would ever have. And people got very upset at me. I got all kinds of emails. Word got out to other communities, and rabbis of other communities wrote me that what happened in the Holocaust, nothing ever happened like that to the Jewish people. The suffering of the Holocaust dwarfs what happened in other places. Now, without the Midrashim of Chazal, I could say like them, meaning I can't explain that what happened in Egypt was worse than the Holocaust without Midrashim. But the Midrashim do say what I said. I didn't invent that idea. The Midrashim say that Hashem encapsulized every form of suffering that would happen in the future and what happened in Mitzrayim. It's not my invention. So this idea that the new redemption would dwarf what happened there, there are definitely people who say, look at what's happening now. You could look at all of modern technology and say it's the way of the world. You could look at all of modern technology and say, well, the Ribbono Shel Olam said I would take you on the wings of eagles and bring you into the land of Israel. I would make areas, terrain, that was impassable. You couldn't cross the mountains and the deserts. And today, you board a plane and you're in Israel. I'm saying you can come from anywhere in the world, basically, to Israel. So isn't this a fulfillment of the prophecy? Meaning, what did we expect would happen? It certainly brings to question how we're supposed to view the period we're living in. And without being Zionistic, I'm just saying, analyze the verses, analyze what Chazal told us, and you have to wonder, how are we supposed to view all of this? And if you look at the commentaries that are apolitical, I'm not talking about those that were Zionistic and said this is all the fulfillment of the days of the Messiah. If you look at the rabbis who were apolitical, who did not take that stance. I mean, what I mean to say is, you know Rav Kook had a position. You know Rav Soloveitchik had a position. Fine, you know their position ideologically and the way they perceived everything that's happening now. But did you also know that Rabbi Feinstein and Rav Vosner and Rav Shlomo Zalman and many of the rabbis who are also what's called Haredi in the political spectrum also discussed the miracles that happened here? And they also refer to them as miracles. And they also discuss how we view the time. And it's interesting that they write lines which are similar to lines written by Rav Kook. People don't know that Rav Kook wrote this. People don't know that they wrote this. But it's written. And they both write that this has tremendous potential, the time we're in. We're seeing miracles that we haven't seen in our history, at least for thousands of years. And we have to hope that this will play itself out correctly. That we will be able to take this momentum that Hashem has given us of returning to the land of Israel and having a government and having an army and fix all the things that are inappropriate about this scenario and keep moving the momentum in the right direction. So people don't know that Rav Kook wrote these words. We hope it will play itself out. Rav Kook warns in one of his letters that the state can become a self-destroying monster. And people don't know that the Rav Feinstein writes about the amazing miracles we witness here. He writes about Entebbe, the daring feat of flying into Uganda and rescuing the Jews, the Six-Day War. And you have, across the political spectrum, an approach that says, we're seeing miracles, we're seeing something, and we're hoping that this is the beginning of a process that we've been hoping for all this time. You see that on all fronts. Again, People don't know that Rav Kook wasn't so confident, that Rav Kook also said there's room to question how it will play itself out. We have to make sure it plays itself out correctly. People also don't know that other rabbis also were open to this idea. Yes?
A couple minutes ago we were talking about the exodus of Egypt and of Babel, and then there was the exodus of the Holocaust that you said to mention.
Right, because it's...
They left Auschwitz, but it wasn't like even Babel where people say Ezra was a Malachi, he was a prophet, and you had Moshe. I mean, it kind of just seems historically that they kind of just left, and they weren't, you know, they weren't given the care or anything that, you know, was historically given to other exoduses.
It didn't play itself out the way we would have liked. It was on the coattails of 6 million Jews being killed. Agreed?
No, I'm saying afterwards.
And afterwards, it didn't play itself out the way we liked. But you have to remember that Esther was married to a non-Jew. Nehemiah was the butler of the non-Jewish king. It's not like the exodus from Babylon played itself out in a way that everyone looked at it and said, ooh, the saints of the Judaism are taking us out of Mitzrayim. Right, and in Mitzrayim you had 8 million Jews die before the exodus from Mitzrayim. I'm saying, we look at Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's a very good point. We say, the Holocaust isn't like Mitzrayim.
So
in the leaving of Ezra, you also had a dismal leaving. You also had people being attacked. You also had a first coming into the land of Israel which failed. Mm-hmm. Ezra enters the land of Israel and it does not succeed. Mm-hmm. And he has to stop his building. And Koresh says stop. And Ahasuerus says stop. And they have a period where they freeze the settlements. Right? So, the ascent of Ezra was not so clean cut. And don't forget, when the Beit HaMikdash was built, the people in charge were not the rabbis for much of the Second Temple period. The rabbis were being killed, murdered. It's, yeah?
You think of the double portion, Dom Shishi, that's miracle, you know, in the sense. Today, we hopefully others too, you know, see the hand of God in this. But I don't know if you could say miracle in the same sense that it defies logic, it doesn't defy science.